And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. Friends, that's what we need to do at the beginning of another year. And whenever I read that poem or that quotation, I was reminded of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. We've already read it. Let me read it again. I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand. I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand. What a wonderful promise from our gracious God. Let's bow in prayer and ask him for his help. Father, we thank you today for your tenderness, for your love toward us. We thank you for this great promise that we can think about and consider at the beginning of the year. We just pray that you will help us now, Father. We pray you'll take away tiredness from our minds. We pray that you'll help us to concentrate and help us to understand your word. We recognize that understanding the scriptures does not come through education, but it comes by revelation. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal the great truths contained in this text to our hearts this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, whenever you read the New Testament, the life of Christ, how many times our precious Savior took people by the hand. Time and time again, you read that the Lord Jesus came to those who were hurting and those who were in great need, and he went to them and he took them by the hand. For instance, in Mark chapter 8 and verse 23, we have the blind man. It tells us he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. The Lord Jesus took that man, that needy man, that blind man by the hand and led him. Isn't that what we need Jesus to do with us this year? We need him to take us by the hand and to lead us. In Mark chapter 9, verse 27, again we read that Christ took someone by the hand. Now this is the young son who was controlled by the evil spirit and was tormented by the evil spirit. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 27, or verse 20, yes, verse 27, we read, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The Lord Jesus came to that young son, that boy who was being tormented and tortured by the evil spirit. Just the same as evil spirits are tormenting many a soul today. And Jesus went to that boy and he took him by the hand and lifted him up. Isn't that what Jesus does? He lifts people up. By his nail-pierced hand, he has lifted many of us in this service today. And there was a time where when we were flat on our face, as it were, and the devil had full control of us, and we were prisoners to the devil. But Jesus came, as the hymn writer says, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And he reached out and lifted us up. And the other hymn that you could sing with your eyes closed, love lifted me. Love lifted me when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. Oh, it's a wonderful study, you know, just to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and just to read. But how many times Jesus took people by the hand. It's the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. The Lord says, I will hold thy right hand. hand. And we read also in chapter 42 of Isaiah, another reference to the Lord taking us by the hand. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand. The Lord wants to hold your hand from this day forward throughout this year. Now, of course, we're not talking literally, because Jesus won't walk into this church today and take you by the hand. But we're talking spiritually. He'll take you by the hand. In other words, he'll guide you, he'll guard you, he'll protect you, he'll bless you, and he'll help you through this year. Now, let's focus on this lovely text of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 41. And you've heard of the five W's, haven't you? I'm sure you've heard of the five W's. Who, what, when, where, and why. Well, that's how we're going to look at this text today. We're going to consider it from the angle of the five W's. First of all, who? Who is it that wants to hold our hand this incoming year? Well, you read it there. I, the Lord, thy God. I, the Lord, thy God. It's the Creator who wants to hold our weak, trembling hand this year. The great Creator. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great Creator. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians chapter 1, we're told, by Him all things were made. By Him all things consist. He's the great Creator. He's the great, he's the one that spoke this universe into existence. From His hand came creation. And that same hand that put this universe into existence, that made everything that we see around us, that same hand wants to hold our hand this year. What a thought. The hand of the great Creator, the hand of the Lord that is mighty, wants to hold our feeble hand this incoming year. Yes, it's the great Creator. But it's also the crucified one. It's not only the hand of the Creator, but it's the hand of the crucified. You see, the Lord Jesus today bears the wounds in His hands. Isn't that right? Now, I love that hymn that we sung at the start, but there's just one word I'd like to change, if I could. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. I'd like actually to change the word bleeding. Because, you see, His hands aren't bleeding anymore. They're wounded hands, but they're not bleeding anymore because He did all the bleeding that was necessary at Calvary. Thank God He bled and died at Calvary. But nonetheless, the hymn's just as good, and we know what old Wesley meant when he penned those words. Thank God for the one who bears the wounds for us. And that hand that is wounded, that hand that is scarred, wants to take your hand today and to lead you through 2014. Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. That's how the hymn writer put it. Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. You know, there's no hands like the hands of Jesus. There's no hands like the hand of Christ. You hear people talk about the hands of Padre Pio. And you hear about Padre Pio's mitt. Padre Pio's glove. And perhaps you've been in hospital and you saw Padre Pio's mitt being brought around, and maybe it was even offered to you for healing. And you have people who say, oh, Padre Pio's mitt healed me. You can read of people and stories of people who would say, they would stand up today and they would testify, I was ill, I was sick, I was in hospital, but Padre Pio's mitt cured me. Well, I want to say, it wasn't Padre Pio's mitt that cured them at all. It was the mercy of God. It was the mercy of the Lord. It's so sad today that people are blinded and they can't even see that it's the goodness of God that heals them. And why is it that God heals them? It's to bring them to repentance. Because the book of Romans tells us the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. How sad it is that there are those poor blinded souls and they give glory to an old love, to an old mitt, rather than the Lord. Now why do I talk about Padre Pio and why am I talking about Padre Pio's mitt? Well, you see, Padre Pio is the one who claimed to have the stigmata, the wounds in his hands. He claimed to have the marks of Christ. But then when you dig a wee bit deeper, you find out a few home truths about Padre Pio. And actually, it is suspected that what he did was he poured carbolic acid on his hands that made the marks. He poured acid on his hands. Others would say that he self-inflicted the wounds. What a scam. What a fraud. So don't believe everything you hear. If you believe everything you hear, you'll eat everything you see. Isn't that right? No, today, dear friends, it's the wounds of Christ. It's the hands of our crucified Savior that we delight in. We delight, we rejoice in His wounded hands, the scars that He holds up to God the Father. And we poor sinners who deserve hell, indeed we deserve 100 hells, He holds the scars up, and because the Father sees the scars on His hands, He says, pardon those sinners in new buildings. Deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Oh, the hands of the crucified. Tell me, is your hand in the hands of the crucified today? Are you holding hands with the one who was wounded on Calvary's cross, the one whose hands were pierced? What did the hymn writer say in another place? His hands were pierced, the hands that made the mountain range and Everglade, that washed the stain of sin away and turned earth's darkness into day. Are you walking hand in hand with the crucified Christ? Oh, if you're not, why not? Why ever not? There's no more wonderful person, there's no more amazing person that you could keep company with in 2014. Hour by hour, day by day, through all the ups and downs of life. The hills and the valleys that we inevitably go through, isn't it wonderful to be able to say that you're holding hands with the crucified and risen Lord? So who is it that wants to hold our hand this year? It's the Lord thy God, the Creator and the crucified. Ah, but then the second W, what? What does the Lord promise to do? For the person who comes to Him, the person who looks to Him for grace and mercy, what does He promise to do? Well, He promises to hold our hand, but it's a wee bit more specific than that, because the Bible is a very specific book, and the Holy Spirit is a very specific person. And notice what He says. He says, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy hand. Is that right? No, not quite. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Right hand. Now, I wonder why he didn't say left hand. Why is it the right hand? Well, you see, in Psalm 142, the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. The psalmist said there was nobody to help him. He hadn't a friend in the world. He was abandoned by everybody. Nobody would associate with him. Everybody had abandoned him. Ah, but then in Psalm 16 we read these words, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now think about it, try to follow with me here. The Lord promises to hold our right hand. So if he's holding our right hand, that means that he must be on our right side. Or as the psalmist puts it, on our right hand. In olden days, in a battle, whenever a soldier was defending another soldier, he would be on his right hand. He would stay on the right hand side of the other soldier, and with a sword, he would defend the soldier. You know, the Lord is saying to you, Christian, today, at the beginning of this year, I'm on your right hand, and I'm your defender. I'm the one who's going to protect you. The devil and hell will throw everything at you this year. That's if you take a stand for Christ, that's what will happen. I'm just filling you in, I'm just putting you in the picture. But you don't have to worry, because Jesus says, I'm going to be on your right hand, I'll defend you. And even if there's nobody on your right hand, nobody else to defend you on the right side, I'll be there through thick and thin, 365 days of this year. My, isn't that a sweet promise? You see, we need a defender, don't we? The fiery darts come from this side, from this side, from down there, and from up there, from every angle, to try to get you to stop, to try to get you to give up, to try to get you so that you will not serve the Lord, that you will have no courage to do anything for him. The devil wants to knock you out of action. He wants to just to put you out of the picture. But the Lord says, I'm going to be on your right hand this year. I'm going to be your defender. Psalm 73, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Who, what, when? When will the Lord hold our hand? Well, the simple answer is always. Always, all of the time, all of the days throughout this year. You see, in John chapter 10, we have there the Good Shepherd. And the Lord Jesus says in John 10, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, that's amazing, that's wonderful. That should make us jump for joy today. But Jesus goes on to say, he doesn't leave it there, he goes on to say, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the idea here is that the Lord Jesus is holding our hand on the one side. The Father's holding our hand on the other side. Both hands. And we're in the middle between the Father and the Son. We've got double protection. What a wonderful thought. The Lord is with us. He's on either side, not only the right hand side, but praise his name, he's on the left side too. And he's with us always. You see, he takes hold of our hands and he never lets go. Now, there might be times when we let go in our foolishness. We let go of His hands, or we would try to let go, or we would want to let go in our blindness, in our naivety. But you see, He never lets go. Well, is it that we're so special and so holy and so amazing that He couldn't let go of us? Not at all. Not a bit of it. It's because the mark of His Son is upon us. It's because the blood is upon us. The value of Christ marks us out. It's because we're in Christ. That's why we're valuable to God. When will He hold our hand? He will hold our hand always. There's a lovely hymn and it goes like this. I walk with His hand in mine, for each day is a stranger to me. I'll kneel down and pray at each dawn of day and ask Him to care for me. I know not the way to go. I only know He loves me so. In sorrow and care, I know He'll be there as I walk with His hand in mine. Isn't it wonderful just to think that throughout this year that the Lord will be walking with us, holding our hand, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, all the time. But when did it begin? When did the Lord first hold our hand? Well, it was when we were converted, when we were saved. Let me ask you today before we go any further, have you been converted? Have you been saved? There's a lot of people today that don't like that word saved. You know, there's some people that would almost boil with rage when they hear that word saved. You know, that their face would go red and steam would be coming out of their ears when they hear the word saved. But I've got news for you. It's in the Bible. The word saved, time and again, it's not just once or twice. But time and time again, the Bible talks about being saved. It talks about Jesus coming into the world to save sinners and so on and so forth. So, you know, this business about being saved, it's not something that independent Methodists have made up, or it's not something that fundamentalists who have gone way off on a tangent have made up. It's a Bible word. Are you saved? That's when He starts to hold the hand. If you'll only come to Him today, if you'll only cry out to Him today, Lord, I'm a filthy, stinking sinner. Hell is too good for me, Lord, but I pray that for Christ's sake you'll have mercy on me because of Calvary where the blood was shed. Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. If you'll pray that prayer and mean it, then He'll take your hand. Now, I want you to notice here something very important. It's the Lord who takes the initiative. Whenever a person is saved, whenever a sinner is born again, it's always the Lord who takes the initiative. You see, the text says here in Isaiah 41:13, look at it again. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. The Lord says He's going to hold the hand. He's the one who reaches out first. You know, there's some people today that have the idea that whenever a person becomes a Christian, that somehow they stretch and reach up to the Lord, and with all their might and with all their effort, eventually they reach up and can grasp the hand of God. It's a load of rubbish, by the way. It's not true. It's the Lord who reaches out to us. It's the Lord who reaches down to us. He takes the initiative. Sure, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit bringing light into our souls, we'd never be saved. We'd never even make a move toward the Lord. The Lord always reaches out first. Ah, but here it is. When He reaches out, then He gives us the grace to reach out and return. We reach out and and we grasp his hand. But it's not us that reaches out first. It's the Lord. And therefore he gets all the glory. And that's the way it ought to be in salvation. That all the glory must go to Jesus. Man deserves none of the glory. For what can man bring to salvation but his own sin? Oh, thank God that when we reach out to the Lord, then he takes us by the hand and he leads us all the days of our lives. Well, where does he hold our hand? We've thought about who holds our hand and what it is that the Lord promises to hold. It's the right hand. And when he holds our hand, it's always. Where does he hold our hand? Well, first of all, he holds our hand on the road of life. The road of life. You know, as we journey along the narrow way, there's many ups and downs. There's many corners. There's many bad bends. It's not an easy road to travel. You'll hit many a pothole. But you know, the Lord is with us. He's holding our hand along the road of life. When the trials come and you think you can bear no more, you think that you're just going to be overwhelmed. You think that you'll not be able to carry on. Well, I want to encourage you today that the Lord is with you, holding your hand. And even when you have no strength left, he will bring you along. He will carry you. He will lead you. He will hold you up. Isn't that what Isaiah promises in verse 10 of chapter 41? Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I want to tell you today, if you're going through a trial, a problem, you're in difficult circumstances, I want to say to you today, the Lord is holding your hand and he promises to uphold you in your trial. There's a lovely story told about a wee boy who was in hospital for a very serious operation. And somebody came to him and they said, "Now, sonny, will you be all right? Will you be okay?" He just looked back at that other person and the wee boy said, "I'll be all right if Daddy holds my hand. I'll be all right if Daddy holds my hand." Daddy's in the meeting today. Haven't you had that experience where you hold your wee boy's hand and the little one gets comfort from it? Daddy is holding my hand. Sure, it's worth £1 million to the child. It's worth so much to the child. The simple fact that you're holding his or her hand, it brings great comfort to them. Well, you know, God is our Father, those of us who are saved. And we'll be okay if Daddy holds our hand. Oh, he's with us on the road of life, but he's with us, thank God, as we go through the river of death. The river of death, because we all must pass through that river. You know, whenever a Christian comes to death, they will be given dying grace. They'll not be given the dying grace beforehand. The Lord doesn't say, "Well, now there's a Christian and they're going to die in a year's time or in 10 years' time, so I'll give them all the grace they need now for death." No, he gives the grace whenever it comes the day for your death. The day of your death. Because, you know, I have spoken to Christians and the thought of death, you know, strikes fear into them. The thought of death makes them afraid. And then some people say, "Oh, sure, if you have fear of death, you couldn't be saved." No, not at all. That's rubbish. We're just humans. We're just earthly, frail creatures, and we fear that unknown experience, that river of death. It's natural to be afraid of death, whether you're saved or not, because you see in Genesis, whenever God created this world and the Garden of Eden, death wasn't part of His plan. Death was unnatural. Death is unnatural. That's why we're afraid of it. That's why the very best of Christians is afraid, can be afraid of it. They can have a certain foreboding, a certain apprehension about death. But you know, when the day of death comes, when the hour of death comes, we'll be given dying grace. And the Lord will hold our hand. You see, old John Wesley used to say, "Our people die well. Our people die well." Well, was it that the early Methodists were a very special people, that they were so holy? Was it that the Lord looked down on the early Methodists and said, "Oh, you're different from all the others. You're special. You're far better than everybody else"? Not at all. Not at all. They were in Christ. They trusted in Christ. In the hour of death, their faith was in the precious blood of Christ. That's why they died well. If your faith is in the precious blood of Christ, you too will die well. Where the Lord is with us, He's with us on the road of life and in the river of death. "I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me." Let's come to the last W and finish off. Time is gone. Why does the Lord hold our hand? Why? Well, let me say first of all, and let's be blunt about it, because of our stupidity. You see, there's no more stupid person than this preacher in the pulpit today. And there's times whenever in our stupidity we make mistakes and we want to go the wrong way and we want to we go in the wrong direction. And that's why the Lord needs to hold our hand. That's why the Lord says, "I will hold thy right hand." The Lord knows what's in us. The Lord knows our foolishness. The Lord knows our silliness. The Lord knows that we're inclined to do that that will hurt us and will bring harm to His cause. So that's why He holds our hand. You parents, you know what it was like whenever you were rearing your children. Oh, there were times whenever the child would want to run off in the wrong direction. The child would want to go the wrong way. My, you had to get a hold of their hand and keep a tight grip of their hand. And the little one was that foolish that it struggled to get away and was fighting with you to get away. The rebellion was there. You know, that's just like Christians. That's just like us, isn't it? So often, we're going the wrong direction. We're heading the wrong direction. If the Lord was to leave us to ourselves, who knows what kind of a mess we would make. But isn't it good that He's holding our hand? "Hold thou my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Saviour, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid." Oh, He holds our hand. Yes, it's because of our stupidity. But it's for our security. Secondly, it's for our security. The Lord Jesus holds our hand. And the devil will try to break that grip. And the world and the flesh will try to break that grip. But the wonderful news is, they cannot do it. It's impossible. Because The Lord Jesus is holding His children by the hand. And never was there a Christian, never was there a child of God who placed their hand into the hand of Christ and felt the tender grip of the nail-pierced hand of Christ, whose hand was separated from Christ. Oh, friends, isn't it wonderful just to think today that there's security in this wonderful hand? The hand of Christ holds every one of His children, and He'll never let go. To go back to the parents, the illustration about the parents. You know what it's like when you come to cross a road and you've got the little one there beside you. Do you stand back and you look at the little one and you say, "Now away you go across the road. Go on ahead. Now there's a big articulated lorry coming, but you'll be all right. Go on ahead. You'll have to learn sooner or later." Well, you'd be the queer, stupid parent if you did that. No, of course you didn't do that. What did you do? Oh, you took the little one by the hand, and you would nearly have held them with your two hands if you could. You held their hand with a death-like grip until you got across the road safely. You wanted the little one to be safe and secure. Oh, I want to tell you, child of God, that the Lord Jesus will hold your hand as you cross the road of life. And He'll take you safely to the other side of the road. But maybe I'm speaking to someone today. Your hand's not in His hand. You're trying to cross the road yourself. You'll never do it. You'll never make it to the other side safely. It's impossible. Why don't you put your hand into the nail-pierced hand of Christ at the start of this year? You couldn't do a better thing. You'll never regret it. There's many a thing that I regret, you know. I look back on my life and, I mean, if I could turn back that thing on the back wall, I would do it. But one thing that I have never regretted, and one thing that I will never regret, is trusting in Christ and depending on His precious blood. That's something that you'll never find this poor old sinner regretting. If you come to Christ today, the first Sunday of the new year, I promise you, you won't regret it. You know, there's another lovely hymn, I'm sure we've all heard it, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." That hymn was written by a man called Thomas Dorsey. He wrote the hymn after his wife had died giving birth to their first child. His wife died during childbirth and the child died as well. Then he wrote this lovely hymn. "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn, through the storm, through the night. Lead me on to the light, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." I trust that you'll say, "Take my hand, precious Lord." We'll turn, please, to the final hymn. 540. We'll have the first verse only, please, and the chorus of 540. "When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see." 540. Let's stand. I shall know I may be. Father, we thank you that that nail-pierced hand is holding the hand of every Christian. But oh, we pray if there should be one in the service today, and Lord, they don't know what it is to be held by that wounded hand of Christ. We pray, Lord, that today that you would bring them to yourself. That, Lord, you would help them to see that you're reaching out to them. You're taking the initiative, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're able to give them the grace and the ability to reach out to you. Grant that souls will be saved today. Grant that new names will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each one until we meet again, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.